For what it's worth, we are on the verge of this beautiful week of Thanksgiving, and we can come to this Mass with gratitude in our hearts for all that God has done for us. And it's like that New Year's Eve. It's that great celebration as we give thanks to God for a full year of blessings and graces, a full year of spiritual grace, the presence of God in our lives, the presence of Christ in our lives. And all of the scriptures, like that end time, will prepare us for his return, the return of the King. So this weekend is all about this celebration of one day, that fullness of the return of the King. And the gospel, kind of that little hint, yes, you will receive him in glory if you are willing to suffer with him in the hard moments of following him in the ways of humility, of sacrifice, of true love for our brothers and sisters, for the stranger on the street. If you could follow him in the low things and die with him to the things of this world, you can count on that grace to arise with him in glory when he comes in fullness. You can reflect on that if you want, but we are also in the finale of the year of the Eucharist. So this is like the second to last homily as we finish the explanation of the Mass, which we've been doing for the last year, month by month, one homily focused on one part of the Eucharist. So if you remember, very much based on the Old Testament rituals that God revealed to his children, the Jewish feasts set the tone and give us the roots of what we do every Sunday when we come together at Mass. We have the penitential rite, that idea of washing our soul like Jesus washing the feet of the apostles. The penitential rite, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. Then you move into the first big part of the celebration, which is the retelling of the stories, where we come from, who are we, what has God said to us, the liturgy of the word. The Old Testament, the second reading is usually the New Testament, the gospel, God's own word, Christ himself speaking to us. We finish that with the creed. We move into the offering of ourselves, the sacrifice of the lamb and ours with him, the reliving of that part of the Passover meal, of the Last Supper. And we just last, a few weeks ago, we talked about, if you all remember, because Father was a little bit out of control after Disney, we talked about the Eucharistic prayer and that celebration that, you know, if you can worship Mickey and Elsa and Aerosmith, all the more can we celebrate with thanksgiving God and the great things he has done for us. That Eucharistic prayer of praise, blessing, thanksgiving, intercession for the world, for the church throughout the world, even for our political leaders. And all these structures, we're going to move into the second to last one, is we talk about the communion rite. We're getting ready for receiving Holy Communion. We go into the Our Father and the sign of peace. But all these structures, I just want to encourage us as we explain these last few, it's all about getting out of the tendency to go through the motions and remembering that the motions are there, kind of like when you try to jumpstart your car from someone else's car. The second car has to be going through its motions in order to what? So that the car that's dead can get jumped into, or can jump into the motions itself, lighting its own fire. That's why we do these things, that's why we go through these, if you want to call them rituals. They're to help us realize that I'm in the mystery, I'm in the activity. The Last Supper is made present for me to be there. So we'll go and we'll describe these last few, the Our Father. Like, why do we do the Our Father? Notice, first of all, you stand for that prayer. We stand, we've just finished the Eucharistic prayer, the consecration, the holy, 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 and you stand. Sorry, the great amen. And you stand for the Our Father. And why do we do that? Why do we pray that prayer? Well, we say it at the Savior's command. He told us to. Informed by his own divine teaching, he taught us how to. The apostles asked him, Lord, how do you want us to pray? Can we just do our own thing? Can we go there and like kind of bow down to the east and worship the sun? Or can we do something else and offer human sacrifice like the Aztecs? Is that how you want us to pray? How do you want us to pray? And our Lord taught them. He revealed his heart. This is how I pray. This is how you are to pray. Our Father. First step, and that's a whole meditation in itself. How are you to look upon God? Like the Muslims, as this great, huge tyrant in heaven telling you to do anything, you do it just because he commands it, you do it like out of strict obedience of a slave to his master, or as a child to his father. And it's not just my father, it's our father. Who are you? Who am I? We're brothers and sisters, his own children. That's your dignity. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. You're just a piece of trash. You're just a waste of time. You're just a burden. No, you're a son and daughter of God in Christ. And you have the right, you dare to say, my Father, our Father, who art in heaven. We'll just go through it quickly because it really would be a whole meditation in itself. But thy name be holy. Holy be thy name. It is holy, but the way I live, let that show off its holiness. Let your name be glorified in the way I live, in this world around me. May people see your name and reverence your name, O God. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's what Jesus came to do, to bring about the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I now send you. And that's why we pray it with every Our Father. Lord, this mission that you gave me, may it come about. May your kingdom come through all that I do as I complete the mission that you dared to entrust to me. Thy will be done in my actions, just like it is in heaven. May it be done in my life now. Remember, that was his prayer in Gethsemane, right? Not my will, but your will be done. Thy will be done. Give us all we need. We say in English, our daily bread, all the things that we're hungry for, all the needs of our house, our home, especially after Ida. Provide for us all of our needs, but for what it's worth, the Hebrew version actually says, give us this hyper-substantial bread, which maybe is a reference to the Eucharist. May we never be denied that heavenly bread. And forgive us for all of our sins as we forgive those who have hurt us. And our Lord said, how do you ask for your sins to be forgiven before you yourself forgive others? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Protect us, Lord. Protect us. Because without you, we would fall into a mess. Protect us from every evil. And so the Mass continues, deliver us, Lord, from every evil. Sin, our spiritual evil, especially the sins of our souls, evils of our mind and heart, distortions of the truth. Deliver us, Lord, from every evil, but also the world's anxieties, from all distress, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all anxiety, all distress, as we await that blessed hope that we long for, your kingdom come, the return of the King. We wait for him faithfully. Keep us in your grace. Keep us in your peace. And that's why the Our Father quickly translates into a sign of peace. Our Lord said at the Last Supper, the first Last Supper, his, and we do the same thing, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives you, he described to his apostles. Don't expect peace like the world expects. That's not my peace. It's not a peace of treaties, of compromises, peace won by wars and violence. It's a peace of the heart. It's a peace of heaven. It's a peace of innocence and freedom that I came to restore. My peace I give you. It's the peace of that communion with Christ from the heart. No one can take that peace from you once you have it. Only you can forfeit it. No one can take it from you. Our Lord said, and no one will take that joy away from you. It is not deserved. That's why the Mass continues. Look not on our sins, because they're real, and we haven't deserved your grace, your peace, your communion. But at least look on the faith of this people of yours. Look on the faith of your church, because our Lord was moved by faith. And because of our faith, Lord, grant us that peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And what do you say? And with your spirit. You guys are sleeping. Okay. It's true. Like we wish you that peace. Not some passing, fleeting moment of peace, but the peace of Christ. It's not a little superficial high five, peace be with you. It's like, no, the peace of the Lord. That peace, that communion with God, that innocence of heart, that freedom from your sins of yesterday that still burden your soul. That peace, may it be with you. I really want you to have that peace. I really want you to live from that peace, that joy of heaven in our midst today. Now, how we do that, the little gesture we give, it's actually dictated more by culture. So, like, if you're in Arabia or in the times of Jesus, you would give the kiss of peace. And in the early Christian times, they talked about the kiss of peace. Now, we're Americans, and that would mean something a little different in our culture, so we do a little handshake or a little, wave or I don't know. In China, you'd probably do like the solemn bow. I don't know. But it's just a gesture, whatever you want it to be, of that profound meaning, I want you to have Christ's peace. Sometimes we get a little too superficial, right? Because you do it every day. That's the whole meaning of getting out of the emotions. Stop going with emotions. Like, hey, peace be with you. But I mean it. Like, I want Christ's peace to be with you. You've had a rough week. You've had a rough day. You just went through a hurricane. I just want Christ's peace to be with you. And I encourage us to go back to giving that its full intentional meaning and not just a ritual in the Mass. Peace be with you, peace be with you, peace. No, peace be with you. You're my daughter. I love you. We were fighting yesterday, and I'm sorry about that. For what it's worth, it's removing all the last obstacles before you come to Holy Communion, because it is the last thing you do. Our Lord even said, if your brother has something against you, first, leave your stuff at the altar that you were going to give me. Leave it there because you're not ready for it yet. Go and make peace with your brother or your sister. That's why we put it before communion. Do that first. Don't you dare approach that altar if you're not reconciled to Christ in your brother, in your sister. It would be a contradiction. That's why we have the little ritual. Now, if you need to go to confession, all the more so, do that first as well. But you're removing all those last obstacles before Holy Communion to be reconciled to God and to our brothers and sisters, to the church. And then we move forward with a great gift that is about to come. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. That sacrificial feast of the Lamb, the wedding feast of heaven, the return of the King whom I'm about to receive in Holy Communion. So we simply ask the Holy Spirit to really open our minds and our hearts to better understand why we do what we do. Get out of going with the motions in the Mass and allow those motions of the Mass to turn on your heart, your prayer, your spirit of fervor to pray not just the words that Jesus gave us, but with the heart of Christ himself as he honors his Father's name in every action of his life, as he calls us to know that peace that he came to give us, that restoration of our innocence as we prepare ourselves for that solemn moment, unforgettable moments of Holy Communion between heaven and earth. Amen. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.